I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
And this is Can't Lit.
Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff.
Hello.
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 Hello. Welcome to episode 5 of Can't Lit.
Episode 5. Can you believe we made it this far?
Quince.
Quince episode.
Where we talk only about the Dion quintuplets.
Everyone's been waiting for this very special episode, and that's what this episode is called. A very special episode.
Like a Quincy episode.
It's like Quincy.
The Quincy Jones episode.
We should just get straight into introducing our special guests for this
very special
episode. Oh, right. Our guests, we're here. If you don't know us by now, you can get out.
I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And our special guests today are...
Oh, me first. Sonara Geisler.
Sherita Warner.
And about 19 beers.
Those are the best guests.
Hello.
You were going to say, like, and 19 pool boys.
Yeah. I was hoping you would.
Under 19.
Where are they?
What do you think I was doing all this morning? I was at pools trying to, like, get 19 pool boys to come in.
You guys like poetry?
You like podcasts?
We've been trying to put this muscle man petting zoo together for, like, 4 years.
That's true. It's important that we get that project off the ground.
I know.
We started at the beach a week ago.
Yeah.
We
saw a bunch of muscle men.
Yeah, we did. And what did muscle men talk about?
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Muscle man, aka my new best friend, talked about things he liked, which is steak and his treadmill times.
Yeah. It was pretty good. His Nautilus numbers were tight.
It was a really beautiful day.
He was also so hairless, I could have eaten my sushi off.
He was like a walking fountain.
Because you don't want hair in your sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Is that a fetish?
Is that a thing?
You people that love hair in their sushi?
You said hairless.
Yeah, I like it.
I know. I'm talking about the opposite of that.
Yeah, I like to eat sushi and have like a pink coil around my tooth.
Yeah. No, I got the perfect restaurant name for it. When Harry Met Sushi. It's pretty good.
The focus of this episode will be very heavy on pop culture, so it's important that we start this way. And I know it might seem early to some listeners for pube talk, but that's the name that's also the name of another podcast that we will be starting in the near future. It will air the day after Maximum Butts, and it's probably going to be pretty popular with a lot of really cool people.
It'll be the new and noteworthy in iTunes.
Definitely new and noteworthy. Well, we've already kind of done a bit of an intro, but I feel like it's time for everyone's favorite segment, or not.
All 7 of you.
All 10.
All 19
people. Up it up. All, yes. This is a little something we like to call, What's Happening?
What's Happening?
To go first. Daniel, I feel like you should start.
Yeah, what's happening, Daniel?
I'm really tired because I was at my 6th wedding this Saturday.
I feel like you also might need to update us on any weddings you might have gone to since the last podcast.
Elizabeth Taylor, so he's been divorced 5 times this summer, and this is his 6th marriage.
No, I'm more like Catherine Eagle in like the worst rom-com in the world. I'm just trapped at weddings. I think when did we last podcast?
The recording was in June.
So I went to like 4 weddings since.
Yeah.
Okay. They were all great. There was lots of pantsuits. Pantsuits are in. So I'm happy about that.
That's why you're going to be in the movie 27 Pantsuits.
Yeah.
Pantlet.
With Catherine Hegel.
Were the pantsuits worn by the bride?
No, that would be amazing.
No bridal pantsuit yet.
Bride pantsuit.
Oh yeah.
The next wedding though is like 2 dudes, so I'm really
what?
Hoping that they dress
could
in
be.
But I guess those are actually just suits. Now that I think about it,
are skirt suits really so popular that we need to say pantsuits though?
Like skirt suit.
Like, no, like, I feel like you say pantsuits for women because you just assume that they're going to be wearing a weird skirt, like a three-quarter length skirt suit. But I'm just saying no one does that anymore, so, like, why do we say pants?
I disagree. I feel like there are still ladies going to, like, some kind of conservative brunch where they feel like they have to wear a skirt suit.
A skirt suit.
Also, when a man wears a suit, he also is still wearing a pantsuit because it's pants in a suit.
Well, okay, so then I think I'm explaining this wrong. These are these pantsuits are like the like one whole jumper type thing. Like they like,
you mean a jumpsuit?
Yeah, you mean a jumpsuit.
Yes, so dressy jumpsuit.
Okay, great.
Jumpsuit.
I do hope that your friends wear jumpsuits to their wedding.
Elvis ones that have like groom on like the back and rhinestones on both.
Anyway, back to your wedding update.
Oh, the only update I would say is that I am now 6 for 6 for stealing somebody's random baby and dancing with it. There was
hot toddler moves.
6 for 6. For some reason, when I get really drunk, all I want to do is hold babies. And so I've held a stranger's baby at every single wedding and danced with them.
They really appreciate that.
They did. Mom was like,
very much
you.
Appreciate that.
That's all I can report. I'm really tired other than that.
How many naps have you taken today?
None.
That's horrible.
Oh, no. I like laid on the couch here beforehand, and I'm going to fall asleep halfway through this podcast.
I started watching Fargo.
Sharita.
The television show.
Please update us on your feelings.
Not
on
like
this
I
show.
Started watching the movie and then had to stop.
That is not allowed to happen ever.
Guess what's up? I started watching a movie.
Then
I came here.
So how many days have you been watching the movie Fargo from 1996?
I'm not yet at the part where Frances McDormand comes in.
Also, you're still really early.
It's really early on. No, I started watching the TV show Fargo. FX.
FX, yeah.
Are they one of your... Wait, are they a product?
They're clearly a sponsor. FX. We love Canadian literature and nothing else. That's their tagline.
It's very Canadian. It's shot in Calgary, Alberta.
That's correct.
Amazing.
Did you see there was a clip? I saw this on YouTube of Bob Odenkirk in like a big parka and stuff walking down the street, and someone from I think it was a global Alberta affiliate of some kind. It must have been Calgary. Was walking down the street and was like, hey, did you know they're filming a TV show here? And he's like, yeah. And then this person kept talking to him and he's like, yeah, I know. And then eventually was like, yeah, I'm an actor. And it's like, oh, really? That's cool. He's like, yeah, I'm in the show that you're talking about. And this interviewer had no idea who Bob Odenkirk was at all.
No.
I mean, he's really famous to me.
He's a very famous guy. He's a
but
famous
I
guy
guess
now.
Maybe if you're a journalist in Calgary, he's not famous to you.
I guess if you...
Yeah, because he's not a member of the Hart family.
That's true. You have to be a member of the Hart family. So what do you think about Fargo?
I love Fargo. So good.
Do you love her?
I love the detective. The little deputy.
Yeah.
Little deputy.
Is that her name?
Lovely little deputy.
Little deputy.
Little dep for short.
It's like
her.
Little Debbie's snack cake. Yeah. She has her own line of treats.
I love her, and I love Colin Hanks' character. Well, the way he plays his character is very charming.
Billy Bob Thornton is...
deadly. So
yeah, super
good.
Deadly.
So good.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were talking about William H. Macy and how he ended up differentiating himself from him so well because such a memorable character. And then... Yet, yeah, he's so creepy. They're both so creepy.
He is. Well, I think that it's interesting because, like, the William H. Macy character kind of covers the ground of the Martin Freeman character and the Billy Bob Thornton character on Fargo.
Yes.
He has, like, a two-pronged kind
it
of a role.
Like,
and they
everybody
sort of split
does.
That character
yes.
into these two newer, still very full characters.
Yeah.
But it's really weird.
I saw
so, like,
Adam...
a nebbish person who also has, like, a real cutting kind of edge.
I saw Adam Goldberg, speaking of Fargo.
That
in,
guy is hot.
In
I have a
LA,
huge crush on him.
In
Please
LA.
Call me.
I was taking a photograph of my son, Clyde, in this little triangle. There was beautiful light. It was gorgeous. And I was trying to take a photo of Clyde, and Adam Goldberg walked up, and he thought I was actually pretending to take a photo of my kid so I could get a photo of him. And he was super mad, and I'm like, I'm not taking your photo, taking my kid's photo. And then he was even
great. Now I'm not as attracted to him.
He didn't say anything, but he was super gruff, and he gave us this really dirty look, like, don't try and fool me. I know what you're doing. And I was like, this adorable two-year-old is upstaging you.
Clyde is the real fucking adorable.
I agree. Anyone who denies Clyde his due is an idiot. I'm sorry I said you were hot a minute ago.
Seconds.
Clyde's where it puts Katy Perry's Road to Shame. I've seen it. In the wild.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, it's really good. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
You got a good kid.
Yeah, thanks.
Scenario.
I would definitely drunkenly hold him at a wedding.
He would dance with him? You.
I would have Jareth the Goblin King live. That's a verb now.
That's good.
Yeah.
Would you like to address what's happening with you?
What's happening? Oh, what am I going to talk about? I guess just it's the end of August, which in publishing time is a scary time. And I feel like, I was already saying, I feel like I'm Atreyu in the Neverending Story.
Maybe you should just quickly let people know what you do.
Oh, I'm a book publicist.
Okay, continue.
It's a bit like being Slave Leia chained to Jabba the Hutt. That's my job. Anyway, I'm not going to say what's Jabba the Hutt in this scenario. Let's just say publicity as an entity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I feel like I'm Atreyu, and the nothing, which is September book season, is just chasing me down. It's going to consume me.
But the nothing.
Yeah, the nothing. But I'm also like Bastion. I have to just yell Moonchild out the window all the time. That's all I'm doing right now. Screaming into the streets.
So that's how you promote books?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, when I'm not just, like, launching them on Chat Roulette.
Oh, yeah, Chat Roulette or
OKCupid. OKCupid profiles for books. That's my other big publicity.
These are our other sponsors.
Tinder said no. Tinder was like, no thanks.
Grindr was you can.
Grindr said out. Yes.
Oh, Daniel's on Pirelli? I know that.
Hello.
Hello, we're into it. I actually find the most effective method of book promotion is Snapchat.
I love
because that is the amount of time people really feel invisible. Good about hearing about a book that they might not buy.
Done. Yeah. Over.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love my job.
So everybody.
Snapchat.
Book publishing and publicity. Super mentally healthy. Get into it.
Do you
have any other thoughts?
Do I have any other thoughts? Oh, I don't even know. I was just going to say that I'm watching Nathan For You and it's super good.
It's so good.
Oh my God.
Have you started watching it yet?
No.
I did not realize how many people drink pee.
Oh, my brother did. My brother totally did as a kid. He used to pee. Oh, sorry, brother. My brother, maybe, I don't know.
Your brother, Brandon Warner? Yeah.
No, my other brother. Yes,
your brother, yes. Jebediah Warner.
My brother, Chris Pratt. Super awesome brother. He used to pee in a little, the Old South orange juice concentrate can. That my mom put under, so he didn't have to go to the bathroom. He could just pee in the can. And one day we were up at the cottage, and so we didn't have an Old South concentrate orange juice container. So we had a little jar, and he peed in it. And then in the middle of the night, he got thirsty and drank from the little jar.
Oh, no.
And told mom he wasn't feeling very well.
This podcast is brought to you by the bathhouse downstairs.
And Old South.
Old South, yeah. Old South. Mm.
That was like a 30 Rock joke, remember? When he was making his, like, skin tea? Because he was peeing in bottles? Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently the actual writers at SNL did that. Like, in Bossy Pants, Tina Fey says that's like a real-life anecdote of the SNL writer's room. But no, and even For You, people drink their own drink pee.
In one episode. It's not
in one episode. People drink, admit to drinking pee as, like, a curative measure. Like, it's, like, a natural path. Like, and the just all these people are like,
urine therapy? Is that what it's called?
I guess.
Have we talked about this before on this podcast?
I mean, you would think we had, but we actually haven't.
I can't believe you haven't.
But the gas station...
Yeah, it's embarrassing to both of us.
The guy that runs the gas station is like, yeah, my grandmother always told me to drink the pee of a child that I'm related to under five if I'm feeling stress or anxiety. That's what he says.
If you drink a six-year-old's urine,
I'm going.
Your health will not only not improve... It will deteriorate quick. I spent time at the lake. My family has a cabin in Washington, and I just go to the beach all the time. These are the only things I do. I'm just golden brown. But the other thing is, this is a Canadian literature podcast, so I feel like it's really important that I talk about nature. Nature!
Nature!
And nature, chirp, chirp, chirp. Caw, caw! So anyway... That does relate to something. When I was visiting my family and we were at the lake, weirdly, we were driving into the, like, city to go hang out in Spokane, Washington. It's a delightful place. They have a beautiful sculpture of a goat that eats garbage. It's everything any young girl dreams of. But on the way there, we're driving just down, like, a pretty desolate, very narrow highway. And just, like, a beautiful white domestic chicken is just hanging out at the side of the road. Like, why? There aren't even farms nearby. It's just an escape chicken. So I'm like, that's probably normal. Fine. We keep going.
Was it hitchhiking?
I don't know. It wasn't doing anything. And we drive another, I don't know, maybe 45.
Did it have a guitar?
Sadly, no.
Chicken.
This chicken was doing fuck all. 45 seconds later, huge Rottweiler is just barreling down the middle of the highway on its own towards the car and not moving. And my dad is driving. And I'm like, are we going to play chicken with a Rottweiler? Because it was not moving. And my dad's kind of slowing down. But at the same time, this dog is not. And at the last second, my dad's like trying to veer over, but it's super narrow. There's just trees on the other side. Either we, like, stop, we run into trees, and the dog just fucking, like, skirted so closely around the side of the car. I'm like, this is all weird.
Why? Did it sell you smokes?
It did. It was like, hey, I got this, these cartons from Mexico.
Me and this chicken got
these
a bite.
Filterless cartons.
We were traveling
from Mexico
together.
Yeah. I assume they then went and had a fight. But then,
isn't that the plot line to, like, Rockadoodle?
Pretty
yeah,
much. It was. It's exactly. It's exactly like Rockadoodle.
That's what my guitar was.
Then
about.
2 weeks ago, Sanara and I actually were at the beach.
Oh my god!
It was BC Day. It was a delightful day, and we went into the ocean because the E. coli levels were low, so we knew we were going to be okay. And all of a sudden, I look up and I'm like, "Hey, Sanara. Did somebody die? Why are all those seagulls descending?" And just this huge cloud of seagulls was descending on the beach, and they're just screaming, that, like, screaming seagull noise. And then we look up, and there is a gigantic bald eagle with a baby seagull that it had snatched away. And, like, it swooped maybe, I don't know, what do you think, 10 feet?
Yeah.
It was really close. Like, right, we're in the water, and it was just, like, swooping over our heads. All these seagulls are just attacking it, like, dive-bombing it. It was horrifying. Loud screaming, like, desperately sad seagulls. It dropped it in the ocean, and then all the seagulls landed on the ocean, which was also eerie, but that died, right?
I think it died.
It wasn't alive.
It's just an extended metaphor of a poacher.
Right? Totally.
I was going to say it reminded me of America.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And Rockadoodle.
So I feel like I've only seen weirdly aggressive animals. And then last week, I was almost late for work because I had to stop because a crow and a rat were fighting by a garbage can.
Oh my god, that was the secret of NIMH.
Yeah, totally.
In real life.
It was exactly like that. And one of them was wearing a beautiful cloak. I won't tell you which one.
How does a rat and a crow fight?
So the rat was scurrying along the ground. Yeah, they were. One of them was just like I can't believe you watched The Big Bang Theory, and the other one was like, fuck you, I like what I like. That was it. That was the whole argument. It was stupid. But no, the crow was just pecking very slowly in the back of the rat's back. It was not aggressive. So I had to stop and watch it for a long time because
it was flirting.
Yeah, it was like toddler
You're
flirting.
In love. Where
it was
I
like
live?
Slowly progressing fight. And then the rat kept turning around and being like, what? What? And like giving it face, like, ugh. And then the crow would turn around and try to walk away slowly. I don't know why it was going so slow. And the crow would just be like, peck, peck. Like, it knew its little doughies. Ugh. It was, yeah, but I couldn't stop watching it. I don't know how much time passed. Time probably was standing still. Time stood still. The earth was off its axis. Shit was weird. And then I left, and I assumed they just made, like, beautiful love, and now there are crat babies that fly around. So that's what's happening. That's all I have to say.
Crat babies.
Crats. This very special episode of Canada is sponsored by Crat Babies.
Also on Crat Week on Discovery Channel.
I need you to know that I know we made fun of Shart Week.
Love Shart Week.
As a hashtag, but Comedy Central actually has Shart Week.
At midnight they did a Shart Week.
I know.
Tweets and stuff.
I feel like
that's
I've
your
been,
joke. That
I've
was
been,
your thing.
I've been trying to make it happen for years. Nothing's happening for
me. They owe
me
money.
Just this spring, I was explaining to someone the origins of Shart Week, where like Al Roker went to the White House. This is what started Shart Week. Do you remember we talked about
this? Of course, I do.
Yeah, because this is what happened. Al Roker went to the White House, and he like. Pooped his pants, sharted himself.
Wait, he pooped his pants?
Yeah, he sharted, and then he had to throw his underwear away, and then he goes on the Today Show and, like, relates this anecdote. Like, no one ever needed to know, but, like, sharting in the White House is better than, like, I guess he just wanted to share that story.
Yeah, he was into it.
He interviewed, did he interview the president? I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure he interviewed the president's toilet paper.
But yeah, anyway, so that's just... So yeah, that was...
Samara, can you tell that story about the Swedish lady coming into your work?
Oh, it's all that is that one day this woman came into our office and was like, I'm from Sweden, and I want to collect short stories that I can publish in Sweden. From Canadian writers.
It's amazing.
Yeah, she just wanted, like, stories. And then I was like, I just have to thank you for Sweden's most important export, which is Robin. And she was like, Robin is great. And then we became best friends.
Yeah.
No, we didn't actually become best friends. But,
she left.
But she actually...
Without a book deal.
She left without a book deal. But like...
Back to the motherland.
My coworkers were really ready to shut her down because, like, people wander into the office all the time being like, here's my manuscript! And they're just like... Holding a bunch of napkins in a bathrobe, like that happens.
Wait, do people ever wander in that actually don't care about literature that are just like, hey, I like make my own soap? Or
some one time nuns came in and we were all like, what's happening? Are they here to save us? Because we're like a queer publisher, right?
Yeah.
We were like, what's up with these nuns?
Oh, intervention.
Yeah, they just wanted a donation. But the Swedish lady was just like, we obviously bonded over Robin right away. And I think I also was like, your Twitter account is great, like as if it was hers. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, like your country's Twitter account. Sweden.
Yeah.
Do you guys follow the Sweden?
No.
They have a different Swede tweet every week.
Oh, that's
so, like,
amazing.
It's just a different citizen of Sweden.
Tweets?
Yeah.
Tweets, I love that.
That's really great.
It's adorable. They're good. It's adorable. It's just adorable. So I was like, you know what's great? Your country. And then I just proceeded to not give her anything she actually wanted. But I was just happy to talk to a Swede.
Yeah. Sharita lived in Sweden.
I did. Oh, yeah, I lived there for almost 2 years, and I felt like this is the thing with Swedes is they are very funny. They are incredibly self-deprecating, ironic. Their English has, like, there's such a command of colloquialisms. It's amazing. You do not fuck around with anything that came from Sweden. Like, do not make a joke about ABBA. They're taking ABBA very seriously.
Well,
no, you wouldn't anyway.
I have a
but
really
some people have tried
important
to make
question.
Jokes. Yes,
can
go
we
ahead.
Just I don't know. If you have a favorite ABBA song, I would like you to say it now.
Oh, that's
Thank
hard.
You for the music.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't even know the titles. It's like, Mamma Mia.
That's the title? Yeah. That's the title.
All right. Well, that's a good one.
I like Super Trooper, too.
But Which we could
Super
also...
Trooper? Super Trooper, lights are gonna find me shining like the sun.
Super Trooper.
Yeah, that's one. Oh, that one's
I feel like I don't know ABBA's music. No. I was forced to watch Mamma Mia by friends.
Yeah, those are good friends.
We're all homosexuals, so... They said that I had to.
Here's something. How about your favorite Ace of Base?
What?
They're Swedish.
Super group.
Oh, they are Swedish.
I thought I was like, are you just forcing me to choose things I don't like?
Wait, what's your favorite song from Glitter?
God damn it.
Every time.
Have I already told the story about when I played basketball in high school and Ace of Base is All That She Wants was our warm-up song? I think I have talked about it on the podcast. How other schools, like, we would go to other schools to play. And
you guys would warm up.
Yeah. Their warm-up songs were like, Eye of the Tiger, or We Are the Champions. And ours was Ace of Base, All That She Wants. Is Another Baby, She's Gone Tomorrow. And I was like, this is pretty cool, because I definitely do know a lot of teen moms. Like, I didn't know them like, super close, but they went to school with me. So, I mean, I got it. The message was clear. Don't get an education. I understand.
That's all that she wants.
Get a scholarship. Yeah. Basketball scholarship.
Get a beautiful basketball scholarship.
And a baby. Yeah.
And then get knocked up by someone in the NBA. Like, that seemed to be the message to me.
Done.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Back to Sweden.
Why were we talking about ABBA?
Sweden.
Because they were very protective of it. We thought it would be funny to make jokes about ABBA when we were with some friendly Swedes. And they didn't take kindly... that humor. Didn't get it. Run into it. That's all.
There was a weird article about ABBA this week that I didn't read, but I just read the headline, and it was that they wore the costumes for, like, insurance. Like, there was some weird insurance reason for why they dressed that way, and I was like, this is fascinating, but I don't want the magic to be ruined.
That's amazing, yeah, but so please don't tell us.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to know about this. I want to assume that they wore those costumes to keep the sequin industry booming, and that's what I, like, I want, I don't want to assume that it was a weird,
I think that's,
Yeah.
That's anyway. Why, anyways, I didn't hear that.
I'm sure a serious scholar will
I don't think
let
it's true. I don't think it's true. I'm pretty sure it's not true.
Well, as a part of this special episode, our very own podcaster, Dina Del Buca's second book of poetry is launching this Friday. It's called, it's called Blind Items.
Whee!
Yeah. You can probably find most of us on the front cover.
Oh, that's true.
We talked about that already on the podcast.
Did you?
But Dina, can you tell me a bit about your book?
Sure. My book is... It's really, I would say, like a meditation. No, it's a book... There's a central narrator that runs through the book, and it's all about celebrities and our relationship with them and the interactions that we have with them and our perceived relationships that we have with these people that are famous. I thought it was really interesting that last week everyone was trying to engage with the idea of this so much because of everyone's collective grief about Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. And people were taking our relationship with celebrities very seriously, and it was over something very, very sad. And I don't know, it made me think about what I had written in a kind of a different way, because I don't really address that part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really address collective grief, partially because the narrator, in a way, is sort of kind of like a selfish character. I only like to write about jerks. But there have been, after that, all these think pieces came out about our reaction to Robin Williams's death, and that, you know, some people are critical of our reaction to the behavior of celebrities, and especially when one of them dies. And I think our reaction to them you know, no matter what they're doing or what we're perceiving them to do or what we perceive our relationship to do or our relationship to them, there is some kind of relevance to these people that are really important to our cultural lives. Mm. And I don't know. I mean, obviously that was an extremely sad moment. And I just found it interesting that people even felt like they had to write justification pieces about why this person that was influential or important or made them laugh or sad or whatever made them think or made them feel accepting of their, you know, weirdness or whatever it was, that they had to justify that part of their emotional experience. Like, that's weird, right?
It is weird. Because the internet is like, who cares about the right things the most, the contest sometimes.
Like, you don't. Sorry, what?
The internet is a who cares about the right things the most contest. Hmm. Like, that's sort of how I feel like social media is right now. I don't know. A friend just wrote a piece about, like, stuff going on in the world, crisis, and she's a journalist, and she's basically like, I want to be seen to be covering this thing, but I also don't want to be seen to be looking away from a thing that isn't, like, important to cover. And I feel like that is a little bit, like, not to get too serious, but I do feel like there is a weird pressure or something to be boosting the signal on the right things. Or you feel weird, right? Like, you feel weird if everybody is tweeting about a really serious issue, and then you come make a dick joke, like, in the middle of that, right?
I never feel weird.
Well, I've occasionally deleted tweets when I've realized there's been, like, a crisis, and I'm like, you know what's great? Step up all in, or whatever, like, I'm doing.
I get that, because it's like, I always feel weird about that, but then at the same time, I'm like, no, I'm still going to continue living my life, and, like, yeah. Like, tweet my stupid jokes.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of us, that's what we're good at. Like, you know what I'm good at? Dumb jokes. That's what Twitter is for me. I'm not a citizen journalist. Like, I care about issues, but sometimes I feel like there's this pressure to be perceived to be, like, super informed, and if you're not, like, signal, and I'm like, you know what, the 800 people that follow me hoping that I'm going to publish their book don't want to see tweets from me about anything, let alone this issue.
Like, so, like, we're going to take your book.
I actually pinged a tweet today where I was like, if you're looking for someone to publish your book, you want a publisher, I just talk about Meg Ryan's hair. I pinned that tweet today. I just want people to know. That's what I'm here for.
What is Meg Ryan's hair doing right now?
I don't know.
Wow.
But I hope it's in the style of City of Angels, where it was its most beautiful.
I definitely disagree.
Gina disagrees completely. But I feel like we can think of...
But it's important for us to have this very, very special debate on this very special episode about Meg Ryan's hair. Continue.
We don't have to debate this. But
he wins.
The same way that I feel American Hustle is a story about 70s hairstyles, this is established in the very first scene where we see him adjust his comb over for like 5 minutes.
Yes.
I feel like that's what City of Angels is about. It is about Nicolas Cage's obsession with Meg Ryan's beautiful hair and how he has to, like, fall from grace to get closer to it.
What about American Hustle's contribution to A Cup cleavage?
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's beautiful.
To insubstantial bosoms.
Wait, before we get on to that, I want to tell you, wow, that's crazy. This podcast is crazy. I want to talk about, back to what you were saying about death. To really lay it on super dark, I just read Bow Down by Karen Green, who is the widow of David Foster Wallace. Wow. She wrote poetry and then I don't know the name of the publisher, put out a book of her collages with her poems. But she talks about shitty things that people sent to her. It was like, you wouldn't be famous if you weren't his wife. Or like, I was appalled at what people felt free to share with her on a personal basis, and given that she was dealing with such grief. But her poetry was super restrained, and it seemed like the absolute right way to express that grief in a way that, like, yeah, I wrote that, and that's fine. You know, like, I don't expect anything from what I just wrote, but it was a real expression of what you were just talking about this reverse look at the way the internet deals with this grieving process. Because they were giving her slack, like,
Well, who it's does interesting that? Because even before the internet, there was a huge level
what?
Of there
before
was
a, the internet.
I know. Let's go back in time.
Vacuum tubes, Mad Men.
Yeah,
go.
Last week I was listening to Julie Klausner's podcast, like I do every week.
Yeah.
And she interviewed this guy who wrote this book called The Power of Two about creative duos. And so he did all this research and he's written a lot about people good burping.
I take this subject.
You and your burp are a creative duo. I wish I could remember. You guys, I'm going to talk about Yoko Ono now, okay? But the two of them were having a conversation about creative duos, and there's all these different types that he addresses in the book. I do want to read the book. It sounds really cool. But one part they were talking about is the idea of behind every great man, there's whatever, just like basically
super awesome women.
Yeah, like a woman.
Yeah.
And this is probably what she's experiencing.
Sometimes with smaller, effeminate man.
Yeah.
Totally.
Or that.
Totally. Yes. Well, even they talked about this a little bit on the podcast, and I think he addresses it in the book. Like Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Tolkas.
Yes. Yeah.
And the idea of, yeah, having this sort of stabilizing force, and how sometimes those people are actually super creative. And just the fact that people blame Yoko Ono for breaking up the Beatles when in fact.
Yes. Paul McCartney, hello.
But not even that, but like that she was a creative influence and that people were like, ugh, a woman, a Japanese woman is influencing these like white British dudes. It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Like people were just so outraged by the idea of that. Whereas, yeah, like both John and Paul and John and Yoko were two different types of creative duos.
Yes.
And then in the podcast, Julie said that every woman, she's like, the downside of every creative woman like that's producing stuff is that we also need a wife. Like, it sucks for us.
Yes.
Because what we need is that part of it, because we're still creating and yet no one is, you know, fucking cradling us and holding our hair back when we're vomiting up whatever creative garbage we need to get out of our bodies.
You need 19 pool boys.
That's why we need 19 pool boys.
Totally.
Dear 19 pool boys,
yes.
Please contact us at this very special episode of Can't Lit at Can't Lit. No, what is it? Can't Lit at.
If you can't remember, you can't.
Can't Lit at Can't Lit dot Can't Lit.
I think it's just Can't Lit at Poetry's Dead.
It is. It's Can't Lit at Poetry's Dead. That's it. If you are a pool boy, please contact
Don't
us.
Don't worry, no one has ever emailed.
No one's emailed us, and
also that may not work.
No one has ever sent us any nude photos of their beautiful pool boy bodies.
Do you think that A, Robin has pool boys, and B, Robin has a wife or someone who takes care of her?
I think Robin's creative duo right now is her and her mullet.
Mm. Rocky's hat.
That's true. Yes.
No, the mullet is her creative partner.
And her missing eyebrows.
Yeah,
she's. Become so creative, her eyebrows literally left her face.
Yeah, they were like, we can't deal with this pressure.
Too much.
You know what? They kind of escaped into the Tesseract that she fell into.
Oh. They're in the mullet.
The eyebrows went into the Tesseract.
They're tweeting.
Oh, yeah. Sweet tweets.
Actually, the next Twitter account we need to start is Robin's eyebrows.
Oh, it's perfect. Just, like, where did they go?
Them on the highway. Like,
next
to that chicken.
Like the Rottweiler.
They'll just be tweeting lyrics from the
Yeah, that's like the Rottweiler just tearing off into the,
and the chicken.
Countryside and the chicken. Wait, if Robin's eyebrows and my eyebrows are diametrically opposed.
Yeah.
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 I would like my eyebrows to meet with hers.
Yeah.
We would have a really great, we would be the power of two.
Four
creative
brows.
Duo.
I was trying to find that, okay, Wyatt Cenac did this trip to Stockholm. Back when is he still on The Daily Show? This was on The Daily Show. And he went to Stockholm, I don't know, 2006 or something. And he was like, look what Sweden is doing to itself. Socialism is terrible. And he did this hilarious thing where he was like being ironic. And he interviewed Robin and he went to her house. And she had an apartment in the city. And he was like, wow, you have garbage in your kitchen. And he is like, you're just a regular person, all of this thing. And she was very funny and cute. And I was trying to find the clip, but couldn't find it.
Side note, Sharita did not even break story when passing the deal.
She's really skilled.
No, very skilled.
And what beer is this?
Break story sounds like break wind.
We should talk about this beer because this beer is pop culture related.
Delicious.
Wait, Give us what beer is this?
Sharita, tell us about this beer.
I brought Loser Pale Ale because it is celebrating over 25 years of celebrating Sub Pop Records. But it's delicious also.
I'm a loser, baby.
So why don't you kill me?
Yeah.
Double barrel box cars.
With it. Oh, yeah.
Time wrapped up.
Need an opener here. But anyway, my story about why it snacked didn't really have a purpose except that it was back to Sweden. Robin.
I mean,
in her living room.
I get that. We don't only have to take talk about Sweden. Oh, I didn't get to say that my favorite ABBA song is Man After Midnight.
Oh, that's great.
We didn't ask you.
Give me a man after
midnight.
Oh,
it's the best one.
It's somebody help me. See, you even like it.
Yeah.
I don't dislike ABBA. I just don't want to see a musical.
And you don't like
We've
Ace of Base.
About how much I don't like
Did you get into kind of a Royksopp phase?
Also, the sample used to be the Madonna song.
Hung Up. Royksopp is a one person, one dude.
Hung Up is great.
But it was like very chill.
For Robin's new stuff.
Okay, yeah. I only
But Melody AM was a huge chill out record when I was into raving.
No, I was never into raving.
What? What year were you born? Oh, 85!
Yeah! We are revealing so many things.
He's into Raven Simone.
Oh, yeah, Raven.
But not
yeah,
like
that's
Raven.
Not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
I'm still going to start a rave called That's So Raven.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, I mean, as you should.
Well, my cousin is already posting pictures of herself at Toronto raves, and she's like, Toronto rave girls, you know? And I'm like, mm-mm, girl. I did that way too late for it to be cool. So you are definitely doing it way too late for it to be cool. Royksopp had an album called Melody AM that I used to put on at my thrift store job before anyone got there. And I used to listen to it and dance to it. And
where were you living at the time?
This was in Victoria, BC. You knew.
I just wanted to confirm.
They yeah. Raves in Victoria, BC?
Sure do.
Like you and six other people?
Exactly.
Like two old people. Watching.
No, it was my first rave, and someone smeared Tiger Balm on my temples. And then my friend came over and he said, don't let people do that to you.
Is that a thing at raves?
Yeah, because of the smell.
I have never heard of this. Like, soothers yeah. and ecstasy, but Tiger Balm smearing?
Tiger Balm.
That's not,
because
that's
you're
regional.
In
that's
Victoria, regional. It's very hippie rave,
Wait,
right?
have we talked about Beezin on the podcast?
What's Beezin?
I'm not that
it's a resin?
Familiar with it, but it's apparently teens and young people take Burt's Bees and they put it on their eyelids. I'm like,
exactly.
It fucks them up so good. But I don't know that that's actually.
I was the original yeah. Bees. Oh
yeah. But this is a thing that is referenced. And I read an interview not that long ago with Burt of Burt's Bees.
Oh, not Burt.
Everyone was like, Burt of Burt.
Not
and
the Ernie. Real Burt.
Burt of Burt and Ernie. No, Burt of Burt's Bees. And he
was like,
I did not realize this. No, he let control of his company go to his partner, who was this woman, and she was kind of more business-minded.
Creative
like,
couples.
Totally. Creative partners. And he's like, yeah, I'm cool. And he just, like, hangs out. I'm pretty sure he just rides around in a riding lawnmower. And
smears it on his eyelids. Like,
just, like, real chill and hanging out with the land. He's, like, into the land, and he's just beezing nonstop. No, when the interviewer asked him about beezing, he was basically like, oh, that can't be a thing. No. Like, no.
Is Beezin the new vodka tampons? Remember vodka tampons?
Never.
Who doesn't?
I do not remember that.
Oh, yeah, vodka tampons were a thing that was
Yikes.
Happening. I think EXO Jane did a big feature on it. Didn't someone try it? I don't know. I feel like it was like, this is what the youth are doing. Vodka tampons.
Never do
Just
that.
As a reminder, this is a very special episode of Can't Live. Okay, should we get back to pop culture at all?
Yeah,
like,
yes.
I would Let's like
to about it. Pop culture, aren't we?
I know we are, but I kind of want to veer away from tampons.
Do you think raves are?
I love tampons
popular?
And they're great.
Sponsored right, by all right, tampons.
All right.
And Smirnoff.
And Smirnoff. I guess we do a lot of times talk about pop culture on this podcast. It's
pop
incredible.
Culture.
Yeah.
I guess talking about vodka tampons essentially is talking about pop culture.
It's different. Yeah.
Different. And poetry.
Think about
it's also poetry.
Is there a lot of tampon poetry?
In not Sweden?
Is there tampon poetry in Sweden?
Absolutely not.
Great.
No.
Great.
It's not at all. Poetry.
Do you remember that scene in Ghost World where she puts her rival artist puts a tampon in a teacup and she's like, I just wanted to just really,
Ghost!
Yeah, take apart this image of femininity.
What is this?
She puts a tampon, like, she's in that remedial art class.
No, but what show?
Ghost World.
The movie.
Oh, I thought you were meant Ghost with Demi Moore, and I did not remember.
There are no tampons in the movie Ghost with Demi Moore.
Well, there are, but you don't see them.
In Ghost World, much like Fargo, I have never seen
it. When you see her in her denim with the white tank top and the denim overalls, she has her pockets are full of tampons.
I'm looking through the beers. Oh, I like lagers. That's good.
I like lagers.
She just found her beer.
Daniel, do you have something you want to
say? Are you upset because we talked about tampons?
No.
He's never upset about that.
No, I'm sad. Sharita stopped hitting on me. She had her arm around me
for 10 minutes. I love it.
I took several photos of that.
I want to talk about in the Robin video. That we're taught, what is the name of that video? What is Monument. That even called? Monument! Yeah. Which is a very catchy tune. I feel like the beautiful thing that's happening behind her. Okay, I don't memorize poems very much. I did not rehearse this, but I thought about this. I don't ever memorize a poem, but sometimes lines float around in my head. And there's this line by the Swedish poet Thomas Tranströmer, and he's in Shanghai, and he says, that white cabbage, I love it better than truth itself. And I feel like Robin is the white cabbage butterfly, and we love her more than truth itself, because she's just laying there, and then the tesseract goes around her, and it's like Alexander McQueen. Tesseract. That's what it seems like. And she goes into it and then she lays around. Beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
I love it more than truth itself.
It's so beautiful. It's a beautiful video.
I was really hoping that when you were gonna say the poet, Swedish poet. Thanks for putting your arm around me again. The Swedish poet. Oh, and a kiss. The Swedish poet said, call your girlfriend.
I wish I had done that. Had
the talk. Yeah.
Reasons.
Yeah. It would be amazing if she was ripping off a Nobel
Prize. How much
Prize
of the dance do you know from Call Your Girlfriend?
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like between the four of us,
we could piece easily. It together.
Piece it together.
It falls apart for me with the push-up flip.
Oh, I got that.
I did it. I met my friend. I made her a video. It was her birthday. And I did it in a dress, even.
Since we're all already wearing hair shirts.
It's all we're allowed to wear. It's the government-issued poet hair shirt.
Oh, it's so hot.
Why are we still here?
It chafes.
That's what poetry does, too.
Chase my neck.
Now my pants are chafing me.
Should we do what, Dina, what I think you want?
Just going
to
say, speaking of poetry, I feel like
let's
take to our phones.
Let's close it.
For another pseudo segment that's called Janky Tan Lines.
Janky Tan Lines
sprung from a hashtag, again, that I tried to create. If next summer the people at motherfucking Comedy Central have a hilarious week of programming called Sexy Summer Staples, where they're making fun of sexy summertime, I'm going to be really mad. So, yeah, I tried to create a hashtag, Sexy Summer Staples. That was fun.
I tried to catch on.
Other people did catch on. It was good. It was fine. I can't be mad. Trying to create a hashtag and have it be successful is a stupid life goal.
No, stupid's the wrong word.
Yeah. Anyway, but I had been, again, going back to the leg. This is post-chicken, post-Rottweiler, post-garbage-eating sculpture goat.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I made my dad go to a Zoltar machine in the park beside a beautiful old carousel and get a hilarious old-timey weird fortune. So it's the last day that I'm at the lake, my family's like property, and I get this ridiculous tan, super dark, because it's out of nowhere the hottest day. So I already have tons of other different kinds of tan lines, and I get home, I'm like, oh shit, what's up with these janky tan lines? So I just tweet janky tan lines. And all of a sudden, other people want to, David McGimsey catches on.
Yeah.
And then many others join in this, I'm going to call it beautiful moment. Because straight up, summer is the only time I truly feel alive and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the year, I feel horrible and I want to murder people a lot. So what we're each going to do is read our favorite janky tan lines that sprouted from this one line. So who wants to go first?
I just want to say that when you search janky tan lines on Twitter, Sherita, tell me what you see on the first photo.
I see some boobs. Got some janky tan lines. LOL.
Real people.
Nipples.
Yes.
Saying LOL.
Real people in the real world are experiencing janky tan lines.
Don't hashtag that. Hashtag, what was it? Summer.
Sexy summer staples. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with me, sexy summer
hashtag
staples.
Hashtag a verb. Yeah. Just verbed it.
Okay, I'll open it up. This is a tweet from Pulp Fiction Books, one of our favorite bookstores in Vancouver. Mm. Mailbox baseball by the sea, hiding from the RCMP. Janky tan lines.
I've got one from Jonathan Ball. Very funny dude. Taco filled with Thai food, guest wrapping by Ice Cube, Jackie Tan Lines.
Am I going to read one?
Yeah.
I'm going to read one by David McGimsey, who I feel like probably everyone in this room is in love with. He's the best. Big blue wig on my head, wading pool in a truck bed. Jackie Tan Lines.
I've got another one from McGimsey. I've got going to play some beer pong. In a silver V-thong, janky tan lines.
Okay, I'm going to read one from our very own Daniel Zamparelli.
Love that guy.
Speedo doesn't cover it all. David Gilmour, down the hall. Janky tan lines.
We have to hit the David Gilmour gong, because that means we have never talked about David Gilmour in every episode.
Five for five. Five, five, five.
David Gilmour.
Five for fighting.
Five for five.
Down the hall.
Down the hall.
What's he doing down there?
He's chilling.
Wait, I thought I had
Is he here?
And now we'd like to welcome our special guest, David Gilmour.
He was literally waiting down the hall.
We made him wait for like 5 hours, though. It was pretty upsetting for him. Okay, I'm gonna read one more. I feel like if you want to pick another one, that's cool.
We got time.
This is from Marita Doxel. Blowjob in the backseat. Smelling like rotten feet, janky tan lines. Yeah. So if all of this doesn't smell like summer to you, you don't understand summer at all.
Smell like summer. No.
Summer smells
beautiful time. Beautiful time of year.
I love the smell of hot garbage.
Hot garbage actually always reminds me of Europe. As soon as I smell hot garbage, I'm just like, oh, I just feel like really nostalgic for Italy. I'm like, oh, my hometown.
Oh, honey.
dirtbag-ish looking dudes with no hair and perfect eyebrows. Flat, like, thin crust pizza and hot garbage. Summers of Italy.
The word dirtbag really does exemplify summer. Like, you go to the beach full of dirtbags. You go to any bar.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a dirtbag, you look, you smell, you drink like a dirtbag. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm in tank tops all the time.
Yep.
I've got too many tattoos, and I have a big beard. So, like, I know I straight up look dirtbag and wherever I go in the summer.
Really leveled up on the beard, actually. I noticed that.
That's really good. I'm just letting it go because I have nothing else to do right now. So I'm just going to see how big I can grow.
I like this endeavor.
Yeah, it's like Beardo 2014. Yeah. I like it.
I'm into it. Yeah, see, like, I will just put on, honestly, three garments and leave the house. A dress.
I can't
sometimes
imagine.
That has, like... Sometimes it has support, sometimes it doesn't. Underpants and shoes. That's it. Like, those are the only items I'm wearing. Am I wearing a bra? Sometimes I'm not. Because you know what? That's a waste. It's a waste of my day.
Yeah. I feel like it's sport because you've always got a beer garita.
Yeah. No, that's an accessory. accessory. That's an accessory. I don't count that. I don't count my purse.
Yeah.
I don't count my purse. I don't count my beer garita.
I do have to say that my resolution of 2014 to have another beer garita happened this year. Again. I did it.
Oh, Daniel.
Isn't that great?
At the wedding?
No, this was at Gay Pride.
Oh, that's a good time.
Were you on a float?
Were you in a pantry?
Drinking a float. Drinking a float?
They don't let me go on a float because I don't have ripped abs.
That's not true.
I have seen your abs.
You could have got in on one of those political floats. All body types are welcome.
Anyone was on there, I'm pretty sure. That's why our nickname for you is ABBA.
And we've come full circle.
It's a wrap.
So, everybody, just, you know, would anyone like to, is there anything you want to plug? Is there anything you want to talk about? How can people find you? Do you want people to find you on the internet? Do you want people to not find you?
I just moved to the West End.
West End of Vancouver, the place to be.
Rats and crows.
I do have to say, I wanted to say thank you two for being here, drinking our craft beer, Janky Tan Lines.
Janky Tan Lines! Cheers! Dina, congratulations on your book.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
You guys, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Everyone in this room contributes to this book so much.
Aww.
So it really makes me happy. Yeah. Aww. You're
cheers
all great.
Again.
Let's cheer. Let's do it again. It's going to make a noise for the plate.
Yeah. That's what I love. You like Ira Glass.
Clink, clink, clink. That was get actually it? Special appearance by Ira Glass. You guys, this has been a very special episode of Can't Lit. You can find us on the internet at cantlit.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at cantlit.
Daniel?
You're no longer allowed to drink beer. You can also...
I'm only allowed to drink beer.
If you enjoyed the episode, go on to iTunes and give us some high fives.
And subscribe if you haven't already.
Leave the second review, which, by the way, our first review got straight up
amazing!
Five
straight up fivers.
So good.
Wade Compton, go ahead and go on iTunes. I know you're listening. And put us as 5-star.
Are you teasing our next episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone want to say anything? Closing remarks?
That was so suspenseful.
You were about to sing Call Your Girlfriend. Also, best Robin song.
Call Your Girlfriend. Now you had the talk. Give your reasons. Say it's not her fault.
Everyone's doing the dance right now.